never too fast.
Here at The Zebra, research shows people would rather teach their kids to drive than search for auto and home insurance.
I know what I'm doing, Mom.
Or attend a corporate team building workshop.
Go team! Feel that synergy.
Or be regaled by Uncle Frank's conspiracy theories.
They're listening to us right now.
That's why The Zebra searches for you, comparing over 100 insurance companies to find savings no one else can. Compare today at thezebra.com. We do the searching, you do the saving.
Shh, they're here.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Now, this guy seems kind of polite to the cops in a weird way. A Florida man was caught on video offering the cops a vodka spritzer during his car chase. The man allegedly robbed a convenience store, led police in pursuit, crashed, and then wrapped it by asking the police if they had fun. It was on April 19th in the Spring Lake Market in Sebring, Florida. A store had been robbed. They called the police. They identified the suspect as 39-year-old Richard Christopher Smith of Miami. And he walked out with several items from the store, including alcoholic beverages. And when the police arrived, they saw him in his black Chrysler Pacifica minivan driving in circles around the store. The driver then took off. Grand theft. No, he took off, spotted the authorities, and they began a chase that lasted several miles. Now, during the pursuit, a deputy parked on the road ahead of the driver can be heard on body camera footage yelling for Smith to stop. But the suspect drove on by, holding a can of what authorities say was a vodka spritzer out of the driver's side while yelling, quote, "I was just going to give y'all a drink. That's it." Then the police reportedly had to use spike strips to flatten the tires in the minivan. And then he tried to ram two patrol vehicles. He finally came to a halt after crashing into one. They totally tased him because he didn't get on the ground. And then while he was handcuffed, he asked the officers, "You guys had fun though, right?" He's being held on $120,000 bond. I mean, he gave him a vodka spritzer and he asked them if they had fun, Kane. Kane and I are a little divided on this story. So a Florida man was caught on camera pinning down an 11-year-old girl that he thought was egging his house. The Hillsborough County Sheriff said, yeah, you can't. I mean, he legit tackled her. He thought that she was egging his home.
All right, now tell everyone your position.
43-year-old Maurice Mutu. Okay, Kane's like, that's crazy that he tackled her. If a kid was egging my house, I would beat that kid's ass. Yes, I would tackle them and beat them in front of their parents. Yeah, and then I'd beat their parents.
You're a girl. You can tackle another girl.
And I would tackle a boy, too.
Yeah, you're a girl. You can tackle a boy.
So what your point is that a man can't do this because it's a man. That's sexism.
A man who is clearly 150 pounds above her is literally physically tackling her about eggs.
Well,
let's get real here.
I think he should have confirmed that it was her before he did it. That's his mistake.
Oh, is that really where the mistake is?
Yes, that was his mistake.
That's the only mistake.
He should have, because if she was egging his house, I'd be like, get it.
That's literally his only mistake.
Yes, it's his mistake.
So the tackling of the girl is not
the mistake. Yes, he shouldn't have tackled her until he confirmed.
Okay, so there's two mistakes now.
No, he should have confirmed it first before he tackled her.
Okay, so wait a minute. He shouldn't be tackling her in any way, shape, or form because of eggs.
I'm old school.
What?
I'm going to beat your kids with whatever thing I have and tackle them.
Look,
if you don't discipline your kids, I sure as hell will.
I don't agree with someone egging the house.
I would expect society to do the same. If one of my kids are out wilding, which they never would, I expect somebody to slap them with a flip-flop.
There's another side to this coin, then. Think about this. What if it's your daughter?
I just explained it.
No, but it...
If my daughter was egging someone's house,
yes.
Beat her ass. Yes. That's right. If I do it before I do, because she ain't walking after.
He didn't confirm that she actually did it. He just suspected she did.
This is my whole mantra for misbehaving kids for life. That's
for the radio audience.
I
she raised her flip flop.
Totally did. That's the only way to deal with them.
But if it's my daughter and it wasn't confirmed she did it, and
yeah,
she got
I wouldn't go tackle
tackled,
a kid if I didn't. If I was I'm not sure, but it could be you. No,
right.
You confirm it first.
If somebody wrongfully tackled your daughter, which was my question, what would you do?
Well, I'd be like, well, what was she doing? Why? Why did you? I mean,
wait
if she
minute.
Was on your, he she was on his property. I'm not defending the guy. I'm saying he should have confirmed it first.
Okay, because it felt like you were defending.
But I also feel like we live in a society where you can take a knife into a tent and stab somebody to death. And hey, it's okay. Justice for that guy. You know, I'm like, I where does it end?
I'm just saying, if you're going to say that I hate old people, it sounds like you're defending this guy. And that's where I was coming from. So you're defending a
Well, he's 43, so he's hardly an old guy.
A 43-year-old kid tackler.
But he's older, yeah. But it was in Tampa. He's a parking enforcement specialist. And they said, oh, no, he shouldn't have done this. You know, it's unacceptable. What gets me, though, is there was a woman recording it who just heard, all she did was go, get off her, get off her. If I was a woman and I thought that there was a child being manhandled by an adult and they needed help, I'm not going to stand there and record it. I'm going to pop you. That's the thing. Like, he is damn lucky that there was nobody there that thought he was trying to kidnap this girl, because he'd be dead. He'd be dead. You cannot just, oh man, there's so many variables here. But yeah, spare the rod and spoil the child. That's exactly what happens. Exactly what happens. You got to be careful with some of this stuff. A man dives into a lake to save a wounded eagle. This guy needs to be getting a medal from POTUS. He saved a life of an eagle that fell into a lake into his backyard. The bird was injured during a fight with another eagle. The eagle's stable has a long road to recovery at the Wildlife Center of Southwest Florida. Oh my gosh, right? Super. That's the most symbolic story I've ever heard in my life. Our partners that help bring you the program. It's our friends over at Kel-Tec, the PR57 chambered N57, one of the newest. This is such a great, this is a must have. Now, I've encouraged people before to go and get things like, you know, the KSG, which I also think is a must have, but you absolutely must have the PR57 rotary barrel pistol. First off, it's 40% lighter than the next lightest 5.7. It's slimmer. It's lighter. Now, how do they do that? They have an innovative rotary barrel, but they also have a unique top loading design that replaces traditional magazines with stripper clips that creates a slimmer carry profile. And you got a 20+1 capacity, super low recoil. I mean, it's just like butter, perfect for everyday carry. Like, I could actually legitimately conceal carry this 5.7. I can't with others, but I could this. The MSRP, only $399. It is an absolute winner. It's the first of its kind. Kel-Tec PR57 rotary barrel pistol chambered N57. Visit KelTecWeapons.com to learn more. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Too fast, Trevor, too fast.
Here at The Zebra, research shows people would rather teach their kids to drive than search for auto and home insurance.
I know what I'm doing, Mom.
Or attend a corporate team building workshop.
Go team! Feel that synergy.
Or be regaled by Uncle Frank's conspiracy theories.
They're listening to us right now.
That's why the Zebra searches for you, comparing over 100 insurance companies to find savings no one else can. Compare today at thezebra.com. We do the searching, you do the saving.
Shh, they're here.
Democrats now insist they have a huge momentum shift after those special elections turned out pretty much like we thought they would. President Trump has the audacity to claim he should be able to decide who works for him. And Trump makes the media look like Wile E. Coyote again over comments about a third term. I'm Greg Corumbus, inviting you to join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day, and hopefully a lot of laughs, too. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
We're also welcoming back former service members who were wrongly forced to leave the military. More than 8,700 service members were involuntarily separated for not taking an experimental COVID-19 vaccine. Others were more informally pushed out or decided to get out. We are welcoming actively back those warriors of conscience.
Amen.
We've sent letters out. We're seeking them out. We want them back. They never should have been forced to come back quickly. Personnel and Readiness Department is working in real time to make that process more and more efficient, more and more direct every single day.
Good. They should get back pay, back everything. Absolutely. Because that was insane what they did. Absolutely insane. What blows my mind, and I brought this up, I mentioned this before, we sat down with Army General and Futures Command, and they were talking about recruitment. That's SecDef Hegseth, by the way, just then. speaking about welcoming back those soldiers that were shoved out because of the Rona jab requirements. But I remember saying something to the effect of, well, maybe, you know, we wouldn't have such a problem with recruitment if people, you know, hadn't seen military members being forced out because they wouldn't get an experimental injection that wasn't even a therapeutic, much less a vaccine. And that was just allowed to happen. It's asinine. So yeah, they're owed a lot. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you at the bottom of this second hour already. It's weird. I almost said first. That I am happy to see that, but now we got to get other things situated. This fallout over these Pentagon leaks, it enrages me. As I said yesterday, you know, these people are in these positions. They serve the office, you serve the position, you serve the land. You don't serve a politician. You do your duty, and your duty is not to divide and create fodder that can destabilize national security and contribute to a reduction in people who seek to serve. And he's got it cut out for him. I hear from people all the time that they think that, you know, these changes can be made instantaneously, and that just because Trump is in the White House and Hegseth is now where he is, that everything in the DOD and Pentagon is going to change. It's not. It's a fight, because you have to remember how long these people have been generationally entrenched. It would be great if you could just do it with one appointment or one election cycle, but that's unfortunately not how it operates. It's not how it works. It takes a long time to get these people out because they're entrenched. They got these positions because they were appointed. They weren't elected, and they stay there, and then they make themselves indispensable because they know how everything works, and they count on you to let them know how everything works so they can get everything done. By the way, that's why one of the big reasons I oppose term limits. I think term limits are unconstitutional. I agree with the founders in the Federalist Papers on this, particularly Hamilton, even Adams. They wrote that one of the things you have to be aware of is if you have constantly changing, you're removing the vote from the person. Voters are the term limit. Your vote is the term limit. The people that I have seen who argue the most for term limits are people who've never canvassed for a politician in their lives, phone banked, gone door to door, nothing. They don't, can I be honest? These people don't do anything at all whatsoever to get votes. And as a result, they just want to farm out to the government for term limits. That they want to farm out their duty to the government for term limits. Nothing good ever happens when you decide to jettison individual civic responsibility and give it to the government. You never get it back. But to that point, the bureaucratic class is empowered when you have term limits like that. You have those people that get entrenched, the lobbyists, and we have a problem with lobbyists writing our laws now. What do you think it's going to be like when those people are always there and you just have a revolving door of people every few years that come in because of term limits? Some lawmakers I want to stay there, like Thomas Massey. I want him to stay there for as long as he wants to stay there. Yep. Right? I think he's a great example. Rand Paul. I want Rand Paul to stay there as long as Rand Paul wants to stay there. Some others, you know, people vote for Nancy Pelosi. You know, I think San Francisco, her district is so left, they're insane. She's the needles and feces district. That's literally her district. Of course they vote for her. Because the super rich people that live out there, they're not bothered by all the stuff that bothers everyday people. You know, they're not bothered by any of that stuff. So, I agree with what the founders had said in terms of, you know, empowering this bureaucratic class. It is a danger. And this is one of the things that you have to worry about within the DOD. And he's got a fight on his hands. And that's one of the, it appalls me that people run to the press instead of taking care of things behind doors. First off, it's not New Testament. It's chaotic, and it's designed to inflict pain, and inadvertently inflicts pain the greatest amongst on the voters. really. Gold prices have surged over 40% since January 2024, consistently reaching new highs. According to Goldman Sachs research, the upward trend is expected to persist due to strong demand from central banks. It's stuff like this that's made me take action and why I've bought precious metals like gold and silver. I've partnered with a great company that makes it super easy to buy. Easy, transparent, and simple. And that company is Goldco. They're a huge supporter of this show, and they're the best at what they do. And right now, you can get a free 2025 gold and silver kit jam-packed with critical information about buying precious metals. It was a huge help, not just for me, but to all of you if you do this. And for my audience, you could also qualify for up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver. It's a really great deal, so don't miss out. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh boy, here come the economic headlines. But you knew this was going to happen. This was something that was going to happen. Nearly half of Americans, though, have given up on saving money. 67% feel that they are behind on their savings goals. Nearly half don't believe that they're ever going to reach their targets. 63% of people with savings accounts have withdrawn money since the beginning of 2025 for unexpected expenses. That's the top one. That's 48%. Everyday necessities. Younger generations are more satisfied with their banks, but yet they're more willing to switch, which is interesting. That's a very personal thing. More and more people, there's a big old flash in war. Now, this is true. You can still think that this is the best way to go with things in terms of securing long-term economic stability, that you can still think that that's the way to go. But the reality right now, longer hair, nails at home, fewer facials, the economic warning signs are flashing at the salon. Salon owners say that they are seeing a huge shift in their clients' spending, and they think it's what is ahead for a wider economy. I've heard this. I have a friend who is a stylist, and I have heard this. That people, not only, they're also changing what they're buying. So instead of buying like maybe the more like expensive moisturizer, men are like, what? You mean you just don't, you know, wipe off the water off your face and call it a day? No, I know. But like instead of the expensive moisturizer and things like that, they're buying like the cheaper stuff. And we're seeing it with hair. We're also seeing it with other services like women get their nails done for women. Because men don't care. Do you, men? Unless they're really long and they look, like ridiculous. I don't think that they care. Women get it for women. But they're also seeing that as well. They said that they're taking longer between their visits. Pre-bookings are down. This is something that's, I'm just saying. We knew it was coming, though. The FDA has suspended milk quality tests amid workforce cuts. But they're going to be mad over unpasteurized milk at health food stores that operate like a Sam's, really. Food and Drug Administration suspending a quality control program for testing of fluid milk and other dairy products, they say. The reduced capacity is because of, well, they said that they're running low on people. And it's in their Food Safety and Nutrition Division. It was an internal email that Reuters saw. And they said there was a termination of 20. I don't think you need a million employees to do this. I'm sorry. You don't need like 30,000 employees at the Department of Health and Human Services to do all this. They're trying to say Trump is, oh my gosh, can you believe it? Trump is going to kill us all with poisoned milk.
Is this the same entity that gave us Red Dye 40?
Yeah, it is the exact. You know what? It's so funny that you mentioned that. Yes.
Just making sure.
And all of the other fun colors. What, you know, if they're, that's, it's true. They also say cigarettes are safe. Oh. Yeah. Just FYI. So they said that, here's the kicker. Here's what Reuters says. By the way, guys, the suspension is another disruption to the nation's food safety programs. Meh. Because of Trump's effort to shrink the federal workforce. Meh, meh. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh, so bad. Oh. You know what? I just think that if you still have thousands and thousands of employees and you can't do this stuff anyway, something's wrong with how you're structured. Gotta say it. The top producer at 60 Minutes quits, saying that he lost independence. Is anybody at all surprised about any of this? No, no one's surprised. They said that they're facing a lot of pressure, and their corporate ownership at Paramount, the parent company of CBS, they've entered what they call a period of turmoil. Bill Owens, who is the executive producer of 60 Minutes, said that he's going to resign from this long-running program because he's lost his journalistic independence. Like, nobody, we never believed that you had it anyway. Stop. And he said that they face mounting pressure from both the president, who sued for $10 billion, and then also its own corporate ownership at Paramount. I think it has more to do with Paramount than it has to do with Trump. And they're just...
But his independence cost him money. Let's be real.
For real. No one believes that they're independent over there. Come on. It's 60 Minutes. It's CBS. Nobody believes this. Oh, there's going to be a cosmic smiley face in the sky in Arizona. What if it's frowning? Is that bad luck? Is that bad? The crescent moon is going to align with Venus and Saturn, excuse me, to form an emoji-like grin. It's actually a sweet little smile. It was visible over Bangkok a couple of years ago. Now it's going to be visible over Arizona. They'll be able to see it on Friday morning. And it's going to be like a kind of a lopsided moon and two stars. And it's supposed to look like a smiley face. Don't think that it means God is pleased with you. He's watching you right now. He saw what you did. No. Still though. But they can, you can go and it'll be in there. But I guess like only in certain parts, obviously, of the United States, you're going to be able to see it in Arizona and maybe New Mexico. Let's see. Oh, yeah. And 60 Minutes is going for sale, too. This also, let's see, 31. So here's a poll. I saw this and I had a couple of people send this to me, a couple of people who were tariff angry. They're saying Americans are souring on the handle end of the economy. And 37% approve. Now, hold up. They were talking about specifically the way that they posed the question to these respondents was about the golden age of America, including tariffs or not, and having that be a long term, like an established part. And people did not approve of that, but they're twisting it. Of course, we have a lot more on the way. Stick with us. POTUS had tweeted, well, not tweeted. He was mulling over, and I've heard this before with people in a circle. And now, like I said, I think that the deregulation is good. I shouldn't have to sit out here and lay out all the things that I like so I can say one thing that I disagree with. I mean, we're all adults here, right? We can all handle it. So this is speculation, and it might just be the team brainstorming and then, you know, kind of testing the waters a little bit by suggesting that they're going to have this. New York Post says Trump mulls $5,000 baby bonus for moms in bid to reverse declining birth rates. Well, we have that. We have that right now. It's called welfare. You don't need to give people money to spur breeding. If you reduce the tax burden, if you reduce government spending, if you deregulate, you're going to see this happen organically to where you're not going to have to give people $5,000. Now, they were saying this $5,000 selection or this choice for this, they were saying that this is, you know, it's $5,000 for people considering starting, you know, people who are going to start a family, and it's to help, I guess, with like first year, you know, whatever. And some of the responses that I saw to this were, oh, that's great. I guess you just don't want to end childhood poverty by giving somebody $5,000. And I'm like, what? Where do you come from that you think $5,000 is going to end childhood poverty? Like, it's $5,000. It might seem like over the span of, it's not as much as what this will cost. Let's put it like that. Now, again, I get it that they're just kind of like brainstorming, but I don't want this to take root because it is. It's welfare. We have welfare. We've had welfare for years. Kane, how well has welfare worked out?
Yeah, it seems like it's gotten bigger, which is a problem because there is no point in time until we actually do the policies that he's talking about, which is, you know, allowing these businesses to compete, lowering prices, more jobs. People are less reliant. Until that happens, we're not going to see a decrease in those sucking from the teat of government as opposed to contributing to the teat, I guess.
Contributing to the teat. Look, we created an extra teat. Look at that. It's great. Why do the people think that $5,000, oh my gosh, it's ending childhood poverty. What? $5,000 to have a baby? I'm set for life. $5,000, I never have to work again. I got 5,000 whole dollars. What? Let's go to the casino. $5,000. Seriously? It's wealth redistribution. Here's where I'm going to get real mean. This is absolute wealth redistribution. I don't know who presented this idea to him, but they're a communist and should be jettisoned from his privy council. So why do I say it's welfare redistribution? Well, because it is. You guys know how much everybody pays in taxes? So this is just the latest available data from the IRS. The latest available collected data as of yesterday was from 2022. The top 1% pay $561,523 annually. The average for all taxpayers, now hold up, because it gets real crazy here. The average for all taxpayers is $13,890. The bottom 50% of all taxpayers, the bottom 50% pay an average of $822. Now, why do I say this is wealth redistribution? Why are we talking about giving money to people who did not even pay that much into the system? You're taking other people's tax dollars that they earned and you're giving it to them. This literally is indistinguishable from anything Barack Obama has ever proposed. It's what it is. It's true. You either believe in big government or you don't. There is no gray area. We're not going to do a little in. Just like there's no a little pregnant, right? Or someone might be a little bit of a dude. No, you either have a weenus or you don't. You either are pregnant or you're not. There's no little bit of anything in this. It's black and white. 50% of Americans, on average, $822. So where's the other 4,000 coming from? Because it's not them. You're giving people's money away that they didn't earn. Can I share with you a story? I'm not caffeinated enough today. Let me share with this story. This is one of my favorite stories ever. And it has to do with Davy Crockett, not Jasmine Crockett, heaven forbid. I don't want to give anybody, not Jasmine Crockett. And this, there was a book that's written about him, and it's a great book. It's called The Life of Colonel Davy Crockett. And it came out like a long time ago. And I think they redid it again in the 70s. Davy Crockett, in this, some say it's lore, some say it's a true story. Edward Ellis, the guy who wrote it, says it was a true story. In the House, and Davy Crockett was in the House of Representatives. One day in the House of Representatives, they had a bill that was taken up. And it was a proposal to appropriate money for the benefit of a widow of a distinguished naval officer, right? All these people were coming up and they were making these grandiose speeches. And the Speaker of the House was getting ready to put the question when Davy Crockett arose and said that he has as much as respected as he has for the memory of the deceased and as much sympathy for the sufferings of the living. If the suffering there be, he says, we must not permit our respect for the dead or our sympathy for a part of the living to lead us into an act of injustice to the balance of the living. He says, I will not go into an argument to prove that Congress has no power to appropriate this money as an act of charity. Every member upon this floor knows it. He says, we have the right as individuals to give away as much of our own money as we please in charity. But members of Congress have no right to appropriate a dollar of public money. Some eloquent appeals have been made to us on the ground that a debt is owed to the deceased. And they said, Mr. Speaker, the deceased lived long after the close of the war. He was in office to the day of his death. And I've never heard that the government was in debt to him. And he says, every man in this house knows it's not a debt. We cannot, with the grossest corruption, appropriate this money as a payment of a debt. We have not the semblance of authority to appropriate it as charity, Mr. Speaker. Now, we can give as much of our own money as we please. And he says, I am the poorest man on this floor. I cannot vote for this bill, but I will give 1 week's pay to the object. And if every member of Congress will do the same, it will amount to more than the bill asks. Davy Crockett took his seat. Nobody said a word. The bill was put to passage. And instead of passing unanimously as it was supposed to, and it would have without his speech, it only got a couple of votes and lost. Crockett was asked why he did this. And he said that he was thinking about the the election, or he was thinking about the summer before the election, and he said that they were on the Capitol with some members of Congress, and they saw a fire over in Georgetown, and they ran over there and were helping people, and then they appropriated all this money, and they were sending it over there. And then while he was out one day, he says he was taking papers from Washington and going to the backwoods of his home. And he was on the way to his house when he passed a farmer in his field. And they had words. The farmer did not appreciate what Davy Crockett has done. Davy Crockett was telling him, he's like, can I get your vote for the next election? The farmer said, no, I can't vote for you. I can't vote for you because of what you did. And he was talking about the act of appropriating all this money in Congress and handing it out to people as, you know, really charity. And he said, he made the point that Crockett noted in his speech that if some of these people in the halls of Congress would deprive themselves of but one week, you would have more than enough to be able to cover charitable requests without taking it from the taxpayer. He says, because you see, it's not yours to give. And he really made him think. Davy Crockett apologized to him. And he said that I will never promise him I'm never going to vote for anything like that again. And he appreciated the farmer. He was humble. Davy Crockett was humble. And he appreciated the farmer correcting him on this. And he said, if I can have your vote, you know, I won't make a liar out of you. And then some months later, this was the speech he gave on the floor of the House. That still is true here. It is not yours to give. It's a welfare scheme. People always cite Hungary. Well, Hungary, their birth rate fell. They did this exact same thing in Hungary where they paid people to have kids. The birth rate fluctuated and it went up a tenth of a point, and then it fell from 1.55 to 1.38 while they were doing all of this. In every country this has ever been implemented, it has never solved the problem. If Republicans want to kill the Republican Party, they'll do this. No good person of good moral heart or character should ever support something like this because, as Davy Crockett said, it's not yours to give.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.